Blog Talk Radio.
Sweet, I know. Oh. Sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Strong wind may blow, but I the word. What you gonna tell them? Do it. Everywhere I go. What you gonna say? What you gonna say? Greater Traveler's Rest. That I found a Savior, and He
I know.
Come on, in spite of what you're going through, help me say, He's sweet. I know.
Saints, this is True Bible Church with BJ Ministry International, taking it around the world. Hallelujah, we've been to Jamaica, hallelujah, Haiti, downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row. We're all over the country, radio, for those that are out in radio land that may be listening to us. I thank you. This is Wednesday, August the 8th, 2018, time for school for some of our kids to be back in school. We're going to get ready for that. I want to thank the apostle for singing that. Thank you, Lord. It just got me stirred up. Amen. So as I said, this is True Bible Church with Dr. B.A. Thomas, the overseer of the Chosen Generation Fellowship of Churches. I want to give thanks to General Lily Shaw, who's our announcer, our state evangelist, Marie Brown, who may be in the field as well, state mother Georgiana. I don't know if she's on the line yet. but we all make up that chosen generation of churches. Hallelujah. Our international state mother, Patricia. We also have a male on the team with us, Minister Pastor Ray and First Lady. Hallelujah. And a host of others who fellowship with us with the chosen generation. At this time, we're just going to get started. I believe the woman of God is there to speak on tonight. We're going to have our scripture reading by Dr. Laveria Dent. Dr. Dent, are you there with the scripture? God bless you, saints.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Scripture reading is coming from Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 21 through the end of the chapter. Is that what you told me?
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank
yes,
you.
He is.
The word of the Lord reads, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. The word says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Amen. Praise God. I read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 to 32. Amen. God
I want to thank
good.
You.
The word is already blessed. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Dent, for that scripture. At this time, we're going to have opening prayer by Apostle Dunn. Apostle Dunn.
Amen. Let us prepare to go to the grace of the Holy Throne yet one more time. Most graciously, Father, we come humble as we know how, giving you the honor, giving you the praise, giving you the glory. Father God, we say thank you for what you are doing in our lives. God, we say thank you for allowing us to come and dwell in your presence yet one more time. God, Father God, we say thank you for what you are doing in this season, God, for your people. Father God, right now at the sound of my voice, God, I ask right now that you touch all of your people all around the world. Father God, let them know that your power still reigns. Let them know that you still have all power in your hands. Let them know that no matter what they're going through, God, that you're going to bring them out of that situation, God. Father God, we declare, we decree right now, Father God, you said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsaking us, God. And Father, we come standing on your word. We come standing on your promise, God. Father God, we say just to continue to keep on touching us, God. Keep on molding us, God. Keep us in your presence, God. Father God, we just say thank you.
Hey, thanks, sir.
Because we know that you're able.
Yeah.
We know that you can do anything but fail. Sometimes we may slip up, God, but we know that you never slip up.
Come on now.
And Father God, we ask right now, God, that you change our hearts. That you tame our minds, God. Father God, just as we continue to bless you, God, we ask that you just to keep on touching us, God. Keep on letting us know that there is nothing that can hinder us from your blessing. We bind up the hands of sickness tonight.
Hey.
We come against any assignments of the enemy tonight. We curse him at the root, and we let him know tonight that he has no power. Father God, we declare, we decree right now, God, Father God, that you will continue to get the victory. Father God, we declare, we decree right now, God, we bind the hands of suicidal thoughts. We bind the hands of depression tonight. We come against anything that is not of you, God. We send every attack, every demonic spirit back to which it come from, to dry places.
Yeah.
Father God, we declare and we decree right now that your power will still keep on flowing through us. We come against anything that is not of you tonight. We come against any hindering spirits tonight. We declare, we decree that God, you will have your way. That we would continually to just dwell in your presence, God. We say thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for saving our minds, God.
Yeah.
We say thank you that we can come to you, God, and just give you praise. God, because we know that there's no one else like you. God, we know that there's no one. God, we know when we call on your name, God, that you come running, God.
Yeah.
And we say thank you, Lord. Because sometimes, God, we don't deserve it, God, but you still have your way, God, and we say thank you for what you're doing in this season.
Thank you.
Father God, we say touch all your leaders all around the world. Touch their hearts, God. Strengthen them with their weak, God. Let them know that you are standing in right in front of them. Let them know that they are standing on the rope in heaven, God. Let them know that they are standing right under the promised land, God. We are standing on the promised land that you have promised us, God, and we say thank you for what you're doing, God. God, we know that there is none like you. Most of all, God, we ask right now that you forgive us for our sins, for our non-doings, God. Father God, we say just keep us covered under your precious power. Keep us covered under your precious blood.
Keep us, Lord.
God, we just need to be kept. Because sometimes, God, we don't know which way to go, God, but we know when we call on you that you're gonna give us the right direction. And we say thank you for that, Lord. We say thank you tonight. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen. I want to thank the man of God, Apostle Don, all the way from Connecticut for that dynamic prayer. And our own Dr. Death, who's right now residing in New Orleans, Louisiana, but lives in Palmdale, Lancaster, California. So I want to thank God for the scripture that was read in Ephesians 4, 21 through 31, I believe, and for that dynamic prayer from Apostle Don. Lord, we send it back to dry places. Hallelujah! And we've got to be kind one to another. Praise God. At this time, I want General Lily Shaw to give us our announcement. So when we put the woman of God up, hey, we can go up ourselves. Because when the blessings go up, hey, the praises come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. In Jesus' name, Dr. Lily Shaw. Dr. Lily
amen,
Shaw.
Amen, amen. Be reminded that tomorrow we'll be on the line at 7:30 with Fellowship in Action with our upstate evangelist, Marie Brown.
Yes.
That's tomorrow at 7:30. Let us also be reminded that Fellowship in Unity Ministry, Monday through Thursday, 6:30 a.m., Friday, 6 a.m., and this is covered by Minister Ray. The call-in number is 774-220-4000. The code is 786-7473. That's Fellowship in Unity, Monday through Thursday, 6:30 a.m., and then Friday at 6 a.m., covered by Minister Ray. God's House of Prayer Deliverance service will be August the 18th, 10 a.m. training, training school, and then 11 o'clock is morning worship. And this is our all-chief apostle, Dr. B.A. Thomas, will be bringing the word August the 18th at God's House of Deliverance. The address is 22876. Mountain Avenue, Harris, California, 92570. parenthetically reminded that Blog Talk Radio is this Friday at 7 p.m. The call-in number is 646-668-2435. Again, that's Blog Talk Radio this Friday at 7 p.m., 646-668-2435. Those are my announcements. Are there any more announcements or corrections? Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Adjutant Lily Shaw for our announcement. And as I said before, those dynamic prayers all the way from Connecticut, from Apostle Dunn, and that powerful prayer scripture that was found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. At this time, we won't hinder the services anymore, because when the blessings go up, as we're saying, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So I'm looking for my blessings. At this time, praise God, as you see that there aren't any more announcements, I'd like to know, Dr. Wright, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. We want to put up our speaker. She's profound. I tell you, she's dynamic. She's a mother. She's a grandmother. She loves the Lord. She has a school. She's a professor. I can go on and on and on. She's a woman of God, and she loves God's people, and she loves his word. She broke it down to us last week, saints. Hallelujah. For those that didn't get it, we're going into part two with anger. I want to introduce to some and present to others Dr. Brenda Wright. The floor is yours, woman of God. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, Dr. Wright.
Praise the Lord to everyone. It's really a privilege of mine given by the Lord and extended through Evangelist DJ and the others to give me this opportunity to share, and I appreciate that opportunity, and I don't take it lightly. I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to take the simple truths, God's word, and make it very plain for us to understand it. It's not difficult if we just open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. He's able to guide us and teach us, and I don't by any means pretend that I know it all, but I will share what I do know. And I pray to God that it be a blessing to each of you. Father, we thank you, and again, in the name of Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit, as we simply avail ourselves and allow ourselves to be open so the Holy Spirit can speak through us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
We are going to have what I call my little heart-to-heart talks. Sometimes, you know, we get so profound and deep, and we miss some of the things because we just sometimes don't seem to rest. We try to second guess many times, and because we know the word and some things are very familiar, sometimes we don't have teachable spirits, and sometimes we are blindsided by things that's going on, and we didn't, for whatever reason, connect the dots. And I pray that through the word that we have tonight, that it will help to maybe expose some hidden areas that we are unaware of that has occurred or is occurring in our lives now, be able to put our finger right on the pulse of the problems where there's a need for exposure, that God will expose every hidden thing so that we will leave here having had our time together and feel like the two on Emmaus Road says, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us, as he talked with us along the way. So we started last week on the idea of anger and the origination of it from the human perspective, and that is that Cain was angry with his brother Abel, and he was also angry with God, and how he handled that anger. The Bible says the angry is sin not. So it's not necessarily a sin to be angry. It's how we manage it. The lack of management in anything is usually the cause of why people don't succeed or make the progress that they should. How are you managing your anger? There are some issues that really will cause you to be angry, and you will have just cause to be angry, but how you manage it is very important. So we want to talk about the origination of anger in the first place. Where did it come from? As again, as I mentioned last week, we talked very briefly about Cain and Abel. So we know that in the book of Genesis, we see Cain, the older of the two brothers, killed his brother Abel. And we went through a series of scriptures on why he killed his brother and what were some of the issues. We talked about some of the things that were old hatred, things that had laid dormant and had not been confronted or dealt with, and started off maybe in a very minute way, and things were blown out of proportion, and they were spreading so much. We have a widespread epidemic in our world today of anger. And we see that anger displayed in little children as well as adults. We see people blowing up and blowing things out of proportion, people's hurt feelings, people have been offended, etc. We would hope that in the Church of God, the people of God, that we would handle it differently than the world does. And when we do what they do, we're no different. Birds of a feather flock together. So we're going to talk tonight. I'm going to be coming from many scriptures. We're going to be dealing with anger as a stronghold. Anger is a stronghold. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, there's a portion of scripture that deals with a lot of things, but one of the things it says in verse 32, and I want you to take note of that, is it says, "For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter." This spirit of bitterness, it also talks about their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp. These are snake family kind of issues, things that come from the enemy. The Bible says in verse 31, their rock is not as our rock. And that is very true. We have our rock is Christ. This rock, the Bible says, that followed them, that is the Israelites found in Corinthians, that rock was Christ. He's the one that, as we many times talk about the rock of our strength, where does our strength come? He is our rock. And he holds us together and gives us directions and directives so that when we are confronted or these things come up at us, we know how to handle it. So I want to focus on clusters, because anger has clusters. It's like a cluster. You know, when you see grapes on a vine, you see clusters. Some grapes are larger than others and so forth and so on. So in this spirit of anger, you will find that the word wrath, and we're going to be looking at clamor, contentions, and strife. All these are part of that cluster. You remember over in Matthew 12, when it said that the unclean spirit, when it leaves, it returns and comes back and brings with it seven more evil than itself, so that the state of the person is worse after the individual now has been invaded by these forces of darkness. First it was one, and then that one led to another and another and another. It's like opening a door to the adversary, and various different things comes in. He brings his packaging with him. Over in Revelation, the 12th chapter, we have at least an idea of how things got out of control when the Bible says there was war in heaven. War in heaven. One would not expect war to be in heaven, but there was angelic war in heaven. One-third of the angels, and we don't know how many angels there are because the Bible says they're innumerable, so we don't know, zillions, trillions, whatever. But one-third of the angels succumbed to Satan's suggestion that they join forces with him, and they overthrow God. We can read in the 14th chapter of Isaiah a little bit about what happened and what was the root cause of that and so forth. And in chapter 28 of the book of Ezekiel, we have an even greater measure of information. And it's throughout the Bible that we see various different names that the enemy is known of and by. In Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 24, it says, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine, have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as we speak. as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. I want to focus for a moment on the depths of Satan, not that we want to go deep into him because we really are not that interested, but he is a foe to be reckoned with, and we recognize that though he's been defeated, he is still actively moving about and using every method he can to keep us as believers against one another. He's fighting against God. He's fighting against the people of God. Revelation, the 12th chapter, as I said, mentions about the fight that took place and how Satan was dethroned, if you will, thrown out of heaven. And the Bible says, and we're going to look at that in a moment, where it all originated from. But I want you to think about the when it says the depths of Satan. What are some of the depths of Satan? First of all, he has devices. You can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it talks about the devices of Satan. In 2 Timothy 2 and 26, it talks about the snares of Satan. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, it refers to the workings of Satan. In Ephesians 6, 11, it talks about the wiles of the devil. And we read over in Hebrews, in reference to, I think, the second chapter, it talks about some of the things that also are attached to Satan. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said that he wanted them to be aware of the subtlety of Satan. Back in Genesis, we read that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God made. It is my contention, and many who agree with me, is that you don't need to use subtlety on a fool because they're already a fool. So Satan has to work overtime dealing with people who have the mind of Christ, like Eve did at first. Eve was in her perfect mind when he used the subtlety that he was able to get across and trick her into believing that what she saw that appeared to be good, but it wasn't God. And it led up, as we all know, that she and her husband Adam was cast out of the garden, and their life was very different from that point on. God made sure that they did not, in the condition that they were in, eat of the tree of life. They only ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but God protected them from the tree of life in the condition that they were in. And God gave them, at that time, he covered them and with the blood of an animal and covered them with something that would give them physical covering as well. And so we all know that story. I'm sure it is nothing new that I'm saying at this point, but I want you to have at least an idea as we talk about this spirit of anger, which can sometimes be in a form of witchcraft, which often works in ways that's very subtle but is very effective. You don't even realize that it is until it has happened. The Bible tells us in the 15th verse of Revelation, the 12th chapter, it talks about the serpent was cast out of his mouth, water as a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we know that this war and this warfare that the enemy has launched against two classes of people mostly, and that is Israel as the nation that God has taken unto himself as his people, and the church. Judaism, as we know, began in the Bible. Jesus was born a Jew and operated as a Jew, and we know that Christianity is the offspring of Judaism, and that Jesus made it clear that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. However, we see that the enemy in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible says that the enemy lodged war with saints. He literally wore out the saints. That's what you'll read in verse 25, Daniel 7:21. He made war with the saints, and he wore out the saints, in verse 25. And one of the things that anger does is it wears you out, and it wears you down. There are some people who are very easily offended. They hold grudges. They're even very easily set off. They're what we would refer to as weak links. And as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, how the enemy is looking for someone to devour. So he's always looking for an opportunity to invade other people's lives, minds, hearts, whatever, spirits. The Bible shows us in reference to our spirits and attitudes that some things are a result of the enemy gaining access to the people of God. And we should give him no ground. We should not allow ourselves to be open. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 7, and in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 11, you will read of a word that is very seldom mentioned, and the word is cholera, C-H-O-L-E-R. That word translated is anger. This anger was so intense that you will read over in the Daniel 7:21, where it talks about how war was made with the saints and the wearing out of the saints and so forth. But you will see that the description of this ram that is found in verse 4 of chapter 7 and chapter 8, between chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Daniel, you'll see this ram that is described as having horns, and the power was in his eyes, and he was angry, and he was pushing with his anger and the damage that he did because of that anger. And as you read that, you will see that it's not just a bad temper that somebody might have, but if you are easily irritated and people can get on what you call your last nerve, sometimes things can set you off, especially if you haven't dealt with issues that needed to be dealt with. When I mentioned about that cluster, an individual can have several different spirits operating within themselves. And while they may confront them, and they may be delivered out of maybe one or two, but there's still a few left. Remember that Legion had demons, and when Jesus asked him what his name was, he said Legion. And a Legion in the Roman way of calculating was generally 6,000. So let's say that one demon cast out of Legion, that would still leave 5,999. So a lot of times individuals who have had deliverances of some sort, they have been totally and completely delivered. So the Bible tells us, there's many places in the Bible, a couple of places that I would like us to think about over in Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse 33, it talks about something that I think is so important for us to note, and that is that just like you churn butter. Is everyone still able to hear me? Because I'm hearing some sounds here.
Yes, we hear you.
All right. Over in Proverbs and in chapter 30, I just want you to see this. Hold on to these scriptures. I will tie them all together. But I want you to take note of what it says at verse 33, which is the last verse of Proverbs 30. Verse 33 says this: surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. I think that's very clear. I don't think that any of us will have a problem understanding that. We understand that if you churn butter, milk, you're going to get butter. If you wring the nose enough, you're going to get blood. So
come on,
the forcing
now.
Of wrath is going to bring forth strife. And we've already seen in the New Testament so many places where strife and contention, these things. Proverbs 22 and verse 10 talks about contentions and strifes. Ephesians 4:31 refers to clamor. And Proverbs 9 and 13, these are dealing with getting rid of people and situations that cause strife and contention. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Let me just read that one. I think I'm going to take the time and go and read that. It's in 1 Corinthians Let me see if I can get a hold of that. It's very important for us to see how the Bible admonishes us to avoid certain things and certain attitudes. And it's important that Romans 13 and 13 talks about strife and envying. Envy should not be anywhere in the life of the believer. There is no reason for envy. God is not a respecter of persons, and very often the Lord will use people to provoke other people to do good things, not bad things. God doesn't do that. But if God is using people, he wants us to realize he's not a respecter of persons, and there's no cause for envy. Someone else's gift, whatever it may be different than yours, but it's the same spirit, the same Holy Spirit operating in us for the purpose of glorifying God and edifying the people of God. We need to be an example of that which is good and right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." He went on to talk about that one was saying, "Well, I'm of Paul," and another one is, "I'm of Cephas," and "I'm of Apollos." And he said, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" No. And he wanted them to understand that this lack of unity and this divisive spirit was not of God. These contentions, they start off sometimes very subtle, like it said about the serpent being subtle. You know, there was all kinds of animals available to Satan to use at that time. Why did he choose a serpent? Because the serpent was so subtle. And a lot of things occur in a very subtle fashion. We can see where the Bible mentions certain things that we can see. It started out very small, but it got blown up out of proportion because someone didn't take the right attitude. It's not a question of who's right. It's what's right. And when we understand and focus on what's right instead of who's right, it doesn't matter whether you and I are viewed as being the right one. We want to make sure we're doing what is right in God's sight. Again, Ephesians 4:31 talks about clamor. I want you to hopefully look up these words, clamor, contentions, strife, you know, this bad attitude and things that cause us anger issues. If you're a person who's already easily offended, and Jesus said that, you know, in this world we're going to all have an be offended over something. Somebody is always going to say or do something, and it's only in your flesh, because if your spirit man is alive unto Christ Jesus and you're really dead to these things, it shouldn't bother you in the first place. It's the least thing that should even bother you. You might not even notice. I've had times when people said, "Did you see that? Did you hear that?" Really, I didn't. And if somebody intended it for evil, it went right over my head because I didn't even see that. But when other people bring it out and to your attention, sometimes it's the way things are said and done that'll cause you to see things in a whole different fashion. You've got to be careful. That's why Romans 13:13 deals with these strifes and envying. You know, Martha was upset with Mary. I like the way Jesus calmed her down. She was upset with her sister because she felt that Mary should be doing something to help her around the house instead of sitting down there at the feet of Jesus. Now, that moment of her being upset could lead to far more. That's why it's important that, you know, birds of a feather flock together. I like to be around calm people, people who have a right attitude, because they can help you to see things from a totally different perspective. And I like the way Jesus dealt with Martha. He didn't say that Mary shouldn't do some work. But what he wanted Martha to recognize is that Mary had made a choice. And sometimes we may not agree with the choices other people make, but it is not for us. If you're not careful, you'll let somebody else's decision that they made, right or wrong, good or bad, how it affects you one way or the other or anyone else, cause you to act out of character. And so Jesus simply said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things. Her spirit of anxiety was causing her to see Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus, where personally she should have been happy where her sister was sitting at, but no. She wanted her sister to do what she wanted her to do. Sometimes, and I'm the oldest of my sisters, my siblings, and there were times when I, too, felt like my sister's siblings, brother as well, should do what I suggested. My mother put me in charge as a child of them while she was gone, and I had my own way. We were just all of us a year or two apart from one another, so I wasn't that much older, but I was the oldest. I had one sister that absolutely refused to submit to me or anybody but my parents, and she always gave us problems. We had an old sofa. I don't know if any of you remember, I grew up in the 40s, so we had an old sofa way back, and it was filled with stuffed cotton. And, of course, it had over a period of time, you know, the hole had gotten bigger, so we just pulled the cotton out. She was terrified of cotton. And when I discovered she was afraid of cotton, if I asked her to do something and she wouldn't do it, I'd just pull the cotton out. And every time I pulled that cotton out, she would do whatever I asked her to do. And so over the time, I was able, I controlled her with cotton. And then one day I asked her to do something, and she did her usual no, and I got my usual cotton out. But this time, she did not budge. She stood there and faced me. I couldn't believe it. I got it up into her face, put it on her body. She was no longer afraid. I realized I lost the power over her when she was no longer afraid. She never was afraid of me. It was the cotton. I made the mistake of thinking she was afraid of me. She was afraid of the cotton. And that's what controlled her. So she got the victory over the cotton. I had no more power over her. And I hope that that helps you to give an understanding of what it means. Sometimes we try to use our influence over to get other people to do what we want them to do instead of allowing people to make their own choices, whatever that may be. Another incident occurred in my life, and I think about that with Absalom, who was very angry with David, his father, because his other brother had raped his sister Tamar, and Absalom did not feel that his father handled that appropriately. And since he did not feel that he handled it, and he didn't even say anything to his brother, he kept it in his heart. That offense lay dormant in his heart while he was thinking about what he was going to do to his brother. Hopefully we all know the story that happened, which was very sad. I think back on that incident, and I had a situation that occurred in my life that I had a very deep anger issue. It hurt me very bad, and I was extremely angry that I didn't say anything. Little by little, I noticed that my right hand began to get in a fixated position to where it was very stiff, and I was holding my hand up, but I couldn't stretch it out. And over a period of years, arthritis set in, and because of unforgiveness, I was no longer able to hold my hand out straight. If I had forgiven and released the people I was angry with at the time, my hand probably would have been straight. But because I maintained that anger issue, they gave me some medication. It was 24 milligrams per, and I was taking four of them, and it didn't help me one bit because of the anger issue. I've always dealt with anger since I was a child, easily offended, but very easily able to conceal that so that nobody really knew. I could carry a grudge from here to Alabama, and you would never know it. That's a dangerous person.
Yeah.
And I realized that through the Spirit of Almighty God, he was able to give me the grace to deal with that attitude and to realize that anger would affect me physically. I shared with you last week about how my heart, I had a heart attack as a result of unforgiveness. And so I'm learning and have had to learn and continue. And even at 77 years old, I still can be riled up and I have to watch that spirit of anger. It's a very powerful, weak link that the enemy uses, likes to use, as it says, about the enemy devouring individuals. He looks for open areas. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We are discouraging not only our children, but anybody. That spirit of provoking, again, one of the clusters that's in that bitter, the root bitterness, that the spirit that I read earlier in Deuteronomy 32. You might want to go back and read that and take note of those things and ask the Lord, are there clusters that are concealed in you? Maybe you've been delivered from certain things, but there's other stuff that's laying dormant that no one has really identified and is keeping you from moving forward and being the person that God intends you to be. Again, where did this anger originate? Let me just go back a minute to 12th chapter of Revelation as I come to a close on this, and I will open it up if someone's interested. I cannot say that I will answer all of your questions, but I can try because I know the word enough to tell you that there are certain things psychologically, emotionally, spiritually speaking, that we need to become a little bit more familiar with as we recognize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and what our bodies are capable of retaining in our lives and so forth. Again, I'm just pulling out a few scriptures. I am not going to go through all of this, but over in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, let me start in verse 7 where it says here that, actually I'm going to go up a little sooner than that. Verse 3 says, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, this term dragon is a term that is used to describe the devil as one of his attributes. Having 7 heads, 10 horns, horn speaks of power, 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, which would be the angels, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We're going to skip on down into verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, is not a new serpent, this is the same old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants in verse 12. Rejoice, heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And we all know who that is. Now, he came down, it says, he has come down. In other words, he was cast out of heaven, thrown out of heaven, debodied, and came down with great wrath. So that's where this wrath is come from. It's not always your being angry, but it's your being in the midst of angry people. You know, we are told to avoid being around certain people and learning their ways lest we become like them. So a lot of times, because of this global anger that the devil has against God and against the people of God, he's always looking for people that he can invade. Again, he doesn't have a body, so he needs a body. And we know over in Ezekiel 28, you can read and see what kind of a body he had. But he was stripped of that body. So these demons do not have bodies, and that's how they take possession of people. For Christians, we're not possessed of the devil, but we are often oppressed of the devil. There are people who become depressed. Even believers can become depressed That does not mean that you are possessed. The Bible is very clear about things of that nature. So this spirit of anger, which can happen between siblings, it can happen between fellow believers, it can happen, as I mentioned, about some of the people, an odious woman, it talks about over in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 23, it talks about an odious woman. What's an odious woman? She's a woman that's hate-filled. She has no real reason. She's just hateful. I think of Peninnah back in 1 Samuel, the first chapter. The Bible tells us that Peninnah and Hannah were both married to the same man. But Peninnah was provoking Hannah, making fun of her and trying to undermine her because Hannah was unable to have children, whereas she was having children left and right. Well, Peninnah represents the flesh, and Hannah represents the human spirit. And the husband, Elkanah, represents the soul. So the soul, they were both interacting with the soul, but a lot of times the soulish nature and behavior will accommodate the flesh. And as a result of that, you can have persecution coming from people who are under the influence, another one of those clusters, the influence of the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So people out of envy, because if you know the story, Hannah was loved by her husband, whereas Peninnah, it never said he loved her, he just had children by her. And
right.
A lot of times when people find themselves in situations where they see other people seemingly being more prosperous or more fruitful, they could become competitive or whatever. Sometimes they try to undermine other people by talking against them, spreading rumors, keeping mess going, and those kind of things. It happens all the time. The Bible tells us in Philippians, the fourth chapter, Paul spoke to the man there, and he said, "Yoke fella, please help these women." These two women had issues. They were in the church. Both of them had their own leaders and followers, like many of us. We have people who love us and respect us and follow us, and other people have their little posse as well, their little friends. And if there's a falling out with one person and everybody jumps on the bandwagon and nobody really knows what's really going on, and we just kind of cover up and accept things and we don't really know the truth of it or whatever, and it causes divisions and strife among us in fellowships and things. Now, the scripture that was read at the beginning in Ephesians, I felt, you know, was very adequate in describing things that gives us at least a heads up on the way we should conduct ourselves. So I just want to leave you with the idea that the people who have argumentative spirits and bad attitudes, you know, the Bible tells us over in Luke 10, I believe, or 9 or 10, how the disciples was upset. They took on an offense because of Jesus was being rejected. It wasn't even had anything to do with them. Sometimes we take on offenses that have nothing to do with us, and we need to mind our own business. We need to avoid getting involved in things that have nothing to do with us. And they said to the Lord, "Shall we call down fire from heaven to destroy them, burn them up?" Jesus said, "You don't know what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but that men might be saved." So he put his finger on the pulse of the problem. It's in your spirit. It's in your attitude. And, you know, your attitude will either improve your altitude or it will bring you down. You've got to have a right attitude. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are triune beings. And so our spirit man, talking about a cluster, there's a cluster of three, the spirit, the soul, and the body. So a lot of times we might have been delivered in one area, but we're not delivered in another. And this is an opportunity for us all to take a good look and ask the Lord, am I holding a grudge? Am I easily offended? I need to be delivered from that. I don't want to be a weak link that the enemy can use at any time to display his anger. I am not going to allow myself to carry the anger of the enemy. And so it's important for us to recognize that God does not want us as believers, you know, even Jonah, remember Jonah had an anger issue. And the book closed with him still angry. God used him in spite of it, but he never did get the victory over that anger. And, you know, Moses had a similar situation. Moses knew God in a most amazing and remarkable way. One of the saddest cries in the Bible was when he asked the Lord to please let him cross over. And God said no, and he said, and don't ask me again. What was it? He didn't get the victory. He allowed them to provoke his spirit, and he spoke divisively with his lips. And you know the Bible tells us about our tongue. It's a fire. It can set the world fire. So we got to watch what we say, how we say it, to whom we say it, and get the victory. So I'm going to turn it back over now to Evangelist BJ, and thank you all very much for listening. And I hope that it's a blessing, was a blessing to you. I want you to look at those strongholds, look at those clusters, look at that spirit of choler. Make sure that you don't use your eyes, you know, to intimidate somebody. Let people know you're angry. Don't use your power, whatever influence God may have given to you, to drive other people and to force people to do what you want them to do. And even if you have been offended and hurt like Absalom was, maybe his father didn't handle it the way he thought he should have, but he should never have allowed himself to build up that resentment and to kill his brother. And that's what happened, if you remember, with Cain. He killed his brother. So let us not kill our sisters and our brothers, saints of God. Let us love one another as God is love. Amen?
Amen. I tell you, what a word, what word. I tell you, the woman of God went from Genesis to Revelation. And I think I wrote about all of them down. Amen. If they want to know, just give me a call. I got it. But I thank God for that anger because I found out, even though there's some things I know or thought I knew, Dr. Wright, you can have a heart attack behind that. Your body won't act right. Oh, headache. Many things happen, and we wonder why. Have you ever gone to the doctor, anybody out there? And the doctor couldn't find out anything. And as she was saying, anger is a form of witchcraft. And folks don't realize that. Some, even if they thought so, don't care because if they're angry and envious with you, they don't wish the best for you. So I want to thank you, woman of God, for that. I tell you, you really blessed my soul these past 2 weeks. I want to open up the line for those that have a thank you or appreciate the word of God. One thing I always say, if we're honest with ourselves, if we just stay honest, we don't have to get caught up in this world matter. Because whatever the Lord has for us, it's for us. And we don't have to be angry or envious or jealous with nobody else. I was trying to think on some of the words you have said with people that are contentious. Man, you got some folks that they just love to argue. Amen. You can come all night. They love to argue. Then you got some folks that just so evil, they love to fight. And, you know, before I got saved, I heard some of your things that you went through. I was, you're always a nice person, but a nice person is not going into heaven. You got to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And I remember the girls were saying how they wanted to fight me after school. Well, I was so devilish, I tell folks, I told them, I can't wait. Well, that threw them off. You know what I'm saying? But I had the devil in me like they had the devil in them, and I was ready to go to war. But I thank God for salvation because we don't have to go through those things. The Lord said, stand back. See the salvation of the Lord. He'll fight our battle. But let's just be honest with ourselves so we can come through this. I was talking to someone tonight, and you know it says that we will scarcely make it into heaven, and we've accepted him as our personal Savior. But it's a lot of things many of us won't let go of. So at this time, I'm going to open up the floor so you can thank the woman of God for those powerful words, and we can head on. God bless you. The floor is open. Is there a thank you for the word of God from the woman of God? Amen. Hello, out there. Come on, wake up. It was good.
Amen, amen. I thank the woman of God for a mighty and powerful word again tonight. She's always come with wisdom and knowledge from on high. Dr. Wright, we appreciate you and always love to hear you when you come on to share a word. So thank you and many, many blessings to you.
Amen.
And you know, Dr. Wright, praise the Lord, that was Dr. B. Thomas. And, you know, certain things you said we need to look like clamor. That's people that love to be loud. You got some folks, they want to be seen, or they're contentious. They always want to cause an argument or with strife, fighting. And when we are angry, sometimes when we come to our senses, we realize, what did I say or do? We got to let the Lord fight our battles once we accept him as our personal savior, because this is a real thing. God is coming back. And those with that type of attitude, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going back with it. That's why Satan didn't make it. Hallelujah. He thought he did, but he was kicked out, like you said, with a third of heaven. Is there anyone else that would like to thank the woman of God for the word that has blessed you tonight? I know we all had a change, a need change in our life. Amen? I know we don't want to all speak at the same time, but Dr. Wright, I want to speak for everyone on the line. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed you. You really blessed my soul. And you went from Genesis of Revelation and how it started back there with Cain and Abel. And many times we are that way with our family members, sisters, brothers, cousins, neighbors. There's always something. But we give it over to the Lord. Amen. He'll make it all right. Praise God. At this time, are there any prayer requests out there? Well, my prayer request is to continue praying for me, hallelujah, that I will hear the voice of God. And when it comes to contentious people, being around folks of that nature, because, you know, we have a sense of discernment, I don't want to be around. Amen? I'm like you. You got to be able to encourage me. I don't want that worldly. I don't want to be around worldly folks like that if you're not trying to be there. Praise God. To the Lord. If there's not anything else, Dr. Right, would you pray us out? I want to thank you. You have last words. I appreciate it. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, Father, we just thank you again for reminding us as your children of what your expectations are of us. You recognize and know that we are weak. You understand, Lord, that our frame is frail. You understand our personalities. You put us all together. The word says that you created us in your image and in your likeness, and it is your desire that we be like you. And the Bible gives us clarity of instructions and things to avoid, and we cannot do it on our own, no matter how we try. It's not within us to do it of ourselves, but with the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us the ability to humble ourselves before you, Lord, and that spirit of pride and the attitudes and behavior that is not of you. And we recognize, and when we see it, that we don't encourage it, that we recognize it and admit it so that we can be delivered and set free. Lord, those clusters of things that have still been hidden, many times we sometimes don't realize that there are areas that are still open and that there are weaknesses that the enemy can prey upon. We were his first. And so he knows how to trigger certain things and cause things to happen. But, God, we thank you that you've given us the mind of Christ. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And, Father, I pray for all who are listening tonight as we ponder and meditate and chew the cud and go back over these scriptures and think and let you reveal the light so that we are in the light, not in darkness, and that we come to terms and come to grips with the things that need to be dealt with in our lives, that we be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God to combat the forces of darkness, that we not be victimized, Lord, even with this global epidemic of anger. So much anger is filling the atmosphere, and we feel it so readily. But we thank you that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and we do not have to succumb to these forces of darkness. So, Father, we thank you for the ministry of each one that is represented here. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit will move mightily among us and that we will all be changed from within. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen.
Amen. That's right. Shape you, I thank you, and I thank all of you that were listening under the sound of her voice, and we didn't ask for an invitation, but I know that those that are listening that are still on the line must know the Lord as their personal Savior. So that's right. I appreciate you. God bless you. And good night, all. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God, amen, on tonight. Praise God, hallelujah. You are listening to, amen. member of Chosen Generation, praise God, hallelujah. True Bible Church and Minister BJ, BJ Ministries, praise God. And we just thank God, hallelujah, from that recording from Wednesday night. Hallelujah. We have truly enjoyed the recording on tonight. Hallelujah, from Wednesday night. We have had a blessed time in the Lord. If we have anybody that would like to comment on the recording from Wednesday, or if you have a testimony or prayer request, the line is open at this time. I'm sorry, is there a testimony or prayer request? Amen, amen, amen. Well, we thank God on tonight, hallelujah. Praise God for BJ Ministries, praise God, hallelujah. And True Bible Church, which is a member, hallelujah, of a chosen generation. Praise God, we thank God for them on tonight, hallelujah. Remind you all, praise God, hallelujah, that we can catch them, hallelujah, on their every night line. They're on every night, Monday through Thursday, praise God, hallelujah, at 7:30 California time, which is West Coast time, hallelujah, 8:30 Midwest time, hallelujah, 9:30 Central time, and 10:30, hallelujah, on the East Coast, praise God, that is PM, praise God, hallelujah. You can join them at 774-220-4000. Praise God, hallelujah. And that access code is 01191978. Praise God, hallelujah. We thank God, hallelujah, for them. Praise God. We invite you to tune in with them, hallelujah, amen. And the women of LA, praise God, every night, Monday through Thursday, hallelujah. Have a blessed time in the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. And we have had a blessed time in the Lord on tonight. Hallelujah. And if we don't have any testimonies or any prayer requests at this time, praise God, we're going to go ahead and close out with the word of prayer. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight for being our personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you, Lord, for our grace, our mercy, and our forgiveness, Lord. And we just praise and magnify your holy name, for you are truly worthy to be praised. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. We just pray that the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us till we come back together again. Everybody have a blessed night. Go with God. Hallelujah. And don't forget to say your prayers and just see what God can manifest in your life on tomorrow. Everybody have a blessed night. Go with God. And we will see y'all tomorrow night. Hallelujah. On the anointed truth of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Prevost. Thank you.
Amen. Thank God for you.